We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Hey guys, your intro to your segments really sucked. Childish, unprofessional, a lot of yelling and screaming. How about growing up, huh?
Howard Simon. Jeremy White.
Whee!
On WGR.
High five and slapping butts.
Sports Radio 550.
As we talk about fashion, I just realized I have my shirt on inside out. And I have all day today.
That's funny.
And
I did that once a few weeks ago. Thank you for not noticing.
Here's the thing, though. It's a hoodie. I noticed because the pockets on the
one. Yeah, you can see it. And the shoulders, you can see like the...
The pockets on the other side.
Oh, that's funny. That's good. Yeah, I did that too a few weeks ago.
I mean, it's like a, you know, like a t-shirt kind of hoodie.
Yeah.
And that's inside out.
You went to put something in the pocket and go, hey, where are the pockets?
I mean, the hood still works. The shirt still works.
You're on radio. You don't need anyone to see you anyway.
Conference championships are Sunday. We'll have both games here on WGR. In a moment, we're going to have Judy here. And then I have an interesting question about Super Bowl odds for next season involving the Bills that I want to bring up with you because I need an explanation. We're going to go to the Western Hotline, and we'll talk more about the conference championships with Judy Batista from NFL Network. And you can catch Judy and cohorts Sunday morning. Get ready for the doubleheader with NFL Game Day Sunday morning at 9 o'clock on NFL Network. Judy, it's Howard and Jeremy here in Buffalo. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Good morning, guys. How's it going there?
It's good. Are you struggling with an AFC championship without Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or Ben Roethlisberger? Do reporters know how to cover games without them at this point?
I have to say it's kind of weird that like Tom Brady went out so quickly. Like there's been no real Patriots news for 2 weeks now. It's a little strange. It'll be a lot of fun though to have new stuff to write about at the Super Bowl. I got to be honest. It'll be cool.
It's if you looked at the four teams left, Judy, best storyline, like we were thinking, is it Andy Reid trying to get his first ring? What do you think would be the best overall storyline of the weekend going into the games?
I do think Andy Reid, I think the sentiment around the NFL, like if you're not with one of the other three teams that are in the conference championship games this weekend, like right. I think you're probably rooting for Andy Reid and if you're somebody in the NFL right now. So I do think Andy getting to the Super Bowl and potentially winning a Super Bowl is probably would be one of the biggest storylines. If they make it, that's going to be, I think, the dominant storyline of Super Bowl week is can Andy Reid finally win a Super Bowl? He's done everything else. He's respected and loved, and he's got an incredible coaching tree. So this is all that's missing. It would be, you know, the icing on the cake for his resume. Not that he really needs any more icing on the cake, but I think there'd be a lot of sentiment hoping for Andy Reid to win. And then, you know, the other stuff, like, you know, we're sort of overlooking, like, Aaron Rodgers finally getting a chance to win another Super Bowl. The Niners going from awful last year to the brink of a Super Bowl and their incredible defense. So I think there's a lot of story. Like, obviously, if Tennessee makes it, wow, you know, out of nowhere. So I think there's a lot of good storylines. And again, like, I'm sort of excited because there's a lot of new, fresh stuff. And that's kind of fun.
I think it's fun. You're right. With Tennessee, it's really interesting, Judy, if you look at it. You know, here they are in the final week of the regular season needing a win to clinch the wild card spot. And so they get that, and now they're in, and they do the old six-seed run here, taking out New England, taking out Baltimore, and would be, what, this the third six-seed to ever get to the Super Bowl if they win on Sunday. It would be quite the run they would have had here, knocking off the top three seeds in the conference after not even clinching a spot until the final week of the season.
Yeah, and don't forget, late in the season, they needed the Pittsburgh Steelers to sort of mess up. Remember, late in the season, the Steelers were in that spot, the sixth spot, and then they lost. So they needed the Steelers to lose to have a path in. It's remarkable. And then they've knocked out, I mean, obviously they knocked out the Patriots, and that's huge, even if, you know, this did not look like the caliber of Patriots team that we've seen in the past. But then taking out the number one seed in Baltimore, completely shutting down that offense, that I think was the stunner, even more than winning in Foxborough. And now, you know, again, they're going to have to take out another top offense. But I don't put anything past the Tennessee Titans after watching them the last 2 weeks. I've been at their games each of the last 2 weeks, and I think they're capable of anything. The defense is really good, and Derrick Henry is a freight train. I think the key to this game, you want to say the key to this game is, right, is keeping Patrick Mahomes off the field. Mm-hmm. That's what they used to say about Peyton Manning. The problem with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs is they can score so fast, as we saw against the Houston Texans. They can score so fast that I'm not even sure playing keep away does what you want it to do.
I wonder.
That's the best hope for the Tennessee Titans.
But that's, I think you're right, Judy. You look at this matchup, and I know it's funny. You go back to their regular season meeting, and it ends up being 35-32 Tennessee, and I wouldn't expect to see that. I'm with you. I think you have such an explosive offense. You have Mahomes, who had a huge day against Tennessee in that loss. And as you said, look at the Tennessee defense, what they did to New England, what they did to Baltimore, and I'm just wondering, what's the magic number? How effective can they be in trying to keep Kansas City's offense in check? Because if it gets to the 30s, even though Tennessee did it this season, could they actually do that again and outscore Kansas City's offense?
I keep going back to Bill O'Brien saying after the loss that they thought the Texans were going to have to score 50 to have a chance to beat the Chiefs. And as it turned out, that wouldn't have been enough. But, you know, can the Tennessee Titans score 50? Like, that's a reach for that offense. Their best bet is obviously try to slow the game down, take the air out of the ball, just run, and bleed the clock, and try to keep them off the field as much as you can. That game that they won was quirky. First of all, it was Mahomes was just coming back from the knee injury. So they were not going downfield that much. They were going sort of the quick passes so that the pass rush couldn't get to them. There were a lot of weird plays that broke for the Tennessee Titans. There was a blocked field goal. They returned a fumble for a touchdown. So things broke their way. And I think to win, they will probably need another thing like that to happen. They will need strange stuff to go their way because the way the Chiefs' offense looked last week, I don't know if there's anybody that can stop them completely.
On paper, that looks to be the more competitive game. And I think you'd also say that based on that regular season game was close. Green Bay's regular season game in San Francisco was not. So what are your expectations about the Packers-Niners matchup?
Well, maybe this is going to come back to haunt me saying this. I mean, I expect that to be a closer game than the regular season game.
Yeah.
Right? First of all, I thought the Packers looked much better last week than they have recently, right? The offense looked like it had some rhythm. You saw Rodgers and Davante Adams had, you know, they were clicking, right? They were clearly working together. Those two third down passes late in the game from Aaron Rodgers, that one to Davante Adams down the sideline, that was just perfect. Like, those were throwback Aaron Rodgers passes. That, to me, was sort of like Aaron Rodgers throwing up his hands and being like, hey, don't forget about me. Like, I'm still Aaron Rodgers over here. And even though their offense is more geared now toward the run, they would prefer to run the ball as much as they can. Like, that to me showed they still have Aaron Rodgers, and that's a pretty good thing to have in your back pocket in a playoff game. I think everything favors the Niners, who have also been incredibly impressive, and incredible defense. The key is obviously going to be, can Rodgers get the ball out before that pass rush gets to him? I'd be shocked if it's a blowout the way we saw it in the regular season.
But you know what you think? Like, you look at this, look at the Niners, right? And they sure do look like they are the best team in the NFC. They blew out Green Bay. They won in New Orleans in a shootout. They split with Seattle. And the game with you watch that defensive line, and I'm not sure how Green Bay keeps those guys off of Aaron Rodgers.
Right. I mean, and that's been a problem for a while, right, protecting Aaron Rodgers, and now you're going against this defensive line that's basically all first-round picks. I mean, that's how good they are. I agree. San Francisco, to me, is also battle-hardened, right? I mean, they had that ridiculous stretch of a schedule where they were on the road in these huge games against the top NFC teams, and so to me, that has to give them confidence that, like, there's nothing you can throw at them that's going to throw them off kilter. And then they played so well last week at home in the playoff game. So I think everything favors the Niners, but I just can't imagine that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to get his doors blown off twice in one season by one team.
One final thing for you. It has nothing to do with the playoffs. Your offseason typically includes covering the owners' meetings. What are the chances at some point in one of these offseason meetings they dump the pass interference challenge / review? Or would they go in the other direction and add to it?
Yeah. I don't know if they'll dump it, and I don't know if they'll add to it. I think there will be tweaks to officiating in general. I think certainly they're going to look at that rule specifically. But I think they're going to look – I've been told they are going to look top-down at officiating. Do they have enough people in the command center dealing with replay? Is it just too much for one person to handle? And they will look at that pass interference rule. And the thing that concerned them about the pass interference rule, I think, was the lack of consistency in how it was officiated, right? Like early in the season, if you challenged, there was no way you were going to win. Nothing ever got overturned. Then all of a sudden, late in the season, in like the final month, stuff started getting overturned. And that is what makes coaches nervous, and it's what makes the officiating department nervous, is they want consistency. Whatever it's going to be, it has to be that way from start to finish. And so that's, I think, something that they will address.
You can follow Judy on Twitter, @JudyBatista, and see her on NFL Network. Read her work at NFL.com. Watch her on NFL Network, and they will have their game day morning show Sunday to get you ready for the two conference title games beginning at 9 o'clock in the morning. Judy, thanks for your time with us on the show, and enjoy the games on Sunday.
My pleasure, guys. Enjoy the game.
Judy Batista joining us on our Western Hotline from NFL.com. I was kind of hoping she would tell me they're going to dump the pass interference challenge in the offseason, but maybe I won't get my hopes up with that. So I had a Super Bowl question for you for next season. So I got was looking at odds that came out. BetOnline.ag has the Super Bowl odds for Super Bowl 55.
Okay.
The Bills are listed 40-1. They are 19th in terms of, you know, favorite odds going down the line. Teams in front of them include the Colts, the Browns, the Chargers, and the Falcons, all with better odds than the Bills. Why? I guess it's more about why are the Bills behind those teams in terms of Super Bowl odds next season when my belief is that the Bills are trending upwards. Why are they behind all those teams? Why 40-1? A byproduct of the schedule? Did the odds makers think they weren't as good as 10-6 might indicate because of who they played?
Possibly.
Because that's odd, right? The Colts, who we don't even know who the heck their quarterback's going to be next season, have better odds. Maybe I could get the Browns because they just think, all right, you know what? That was all coaching. They're going to get, they have a new coach coming in. The Chargers, we have no idea who their quarterback is going to be next season. They're at 25-1. And the Falcons were a disaster in the first half of the season, played better the second. They've got better odds than the Bills. They're 25-1, and the Bills are at 40-1. They're just ahead of like teams like Denver, Jacksonville, the Raiders. Actually, wow, Tennessee's at 50-1. I just saw that. Put a couple bucks on the Tennessee Titans.
For next year?
For next year.
Nah.
No?
No.
50-1. Still have a good defense. My guess is they'll keep Tannehill and Derrick Henry and all their receivers.
Well, as soon as they keep Tannehill, they have to pay him. Are they going to pay him?
They could tag him, I suppose, but yeah.
Right.
But 50-1 is a pretty good it's a pretty good long shot for a team that's playing in the AFC Championship game.
Who would I bet to win the Super Bowl next year? By the way,
take a look at the odds here. I won't have to go through them all.
The Niners are interesting, by the way, right?
You're not putting any money on the Bills next year at 40-1?
I just mean, right? No. I mean, 40-1 is not terrible value.
When Brady goes, you know what? Chargers. When Brady goes to the Chargers, that 25-1.
As soon as he leaves the division, I'm not even sure if that would move. Would that move their number? How much would it move their number? Would you be more or less likely to bet?
I didn't even look. What's New England? I forgot to check what they are for next year.
12-1.
Okay. Well, they would drop.
You would think. Depends who they pick up in his place.
Yeah. I would think the Chargers would move up if 25-1 is based on, I assume, Rivers coming back, but you don't even know that.
Rank the quarterbacks remaining right now. Mahomes.
Yep.
Rodgers.
Yep. Garoppolo.
You sure? I don't think so. I think he's the...
You think Tannehill's played...
I think he is better than Garoppolo.
Yeah, I don't... I think it's
Garoppolo
a
Garoppolo is... Okay.
I think it's a wash with those two guys. I think I'm splitting hairs to try and differentiate those two guys.
But
there's a good drop from Rodgers to him.
Has the football world kind of agreed that, Garoppolo's just, he's just a kind of a.
I think he's a manage the game guy at this
point.
Yeah,
he's a piece of the offense.
The one time I think most of the time I've seen the Niners play, it's a dominant defense. with a good running game, and hey, Jimmy, don't kill us. So if I hear that description, I'm going to think, we're talking about a manage-the-game quarterback. The one exception for me, the best game I've seen this guy play was the game in New Orleans. Might have been, I'm trying to think how, I don't know, I didn't see their last game of the year in Seattle. That would have been a quality win for them. But the game in New Orleans, this guy is why they won. Like, he was throwing the ball all over the field. He was making plays. He led them down the field late. I want to say there was a big throw, maybe to Kittle, and he like barreled over guys down the sideline in that game on a game when he was tremendous in New Orleans. But outside of that, when you watch San Francisco, he throws for like 220, 230.
They scheme really well, and he doesn't kill them.
He doesn't have to lead them.
He doesn't have to do a lot.
Like in New Orleans, he did. He threw a ton. He had a huge day. He led them to that win. Typically, he has to be. He only needs to be a complementary part of their offense, and they have such a dominant defense. This is the discussion we have. Mm-hmm. I didn't look at their numbers. I'm going to guess more often than not, if they got to 17, they won the football game. I mean, heck, they went 13-3 on the season. And you know me, I've just never been a huge Tannehill fan. I know he's led what? They were fourth in scoring, I think, since he took over.
Fourth ranked offense. He was the highest rated passer this year.
Yeah. I've just never been a huge fan of his. Every time I saw him play against the Bills, he was just a so-so quarterback. And the playoff games wouldn't change that because he really didn't do much. They didn't pass the ball that much in the first two games. They're living on Derrick Henry at this point. Tannehill's going to need to make some plays on Sunday because they're going to have to outscore Kansas City, I think.
3:00 and 6:30.
3:05.
3:05.
And 6:40.
Nansen, Romo, Buck, and Aikman. If you the Bills were in the Super Bowl four straight years. Was it always, has Championship Sunday been two games on Sunday for as long as the world has existed?
That's a good question.
Like when the Bills beat the Raiders.
Sundays. I think it was all, wasn't it all Sundays then?
Yeah, I think so.
Has it ever been a Saturday-Sunday split?
What I'm asking, or what I want to ask is, did the Bills always clinch before their opponent? You know, would you rather be the team that knows we're going to play Kansas City, or would you rather be, we're in, let's see who we play?
Yeah.
Like, if you could pick the early or the late game, if your team is on Championship Sunday, what's more fun? Knowing who you're going to play or reveling in, we're in, let's see the other two? I think going first is better.
Well, I like the early game because I don't have to wait as long for my team to play.
That's true.
I did like the Bills on Saturday playing the 4:30 game and not having to wait till a later game. I would say I would choose that. I think if you win and you can just relax, enjoy the next game, and say, we're in, who are we playing? I would probably pick that. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Someone tweet me. I'm not going to take the time to do a Google search. But someone tweet me and let me know. I'm trying to recall if there ever would have been. I doubt it because if you would have played a conference championship on a Saturday and the next one on a Sunday. If they did, it would have been with the bye, right? Because if not, you'd be yelling and screaming about how one team had a shorter week going into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So you would want them on equal footing.
If it's 2 weeks.
If it's the bye, then it's not that big a deal. I don't recall. I always, for whatever reason, I always think it's the same day. And typically, I would have felt like the AFC always had the early game and the NFC had the late game. Now, that's not the case, right? Because Kansas City, New England last year, was that the late game?
Yes.
So it's not necessarily this conference always goes first, that conference always goes second.
Yeah.
Right? It would have been the night they played
at night.
It
would have been,
right?
It was dark out.
Yeah, and it went into, it was the late game, right? Mm-hmm. So in this year, AFC's the first game. So I don't know how they determine who gets the
time zone.
It's true. Niners are on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Who would have been the year, who was the NFC early game? Who was in the NFC championship last year?
Saints Hill. Saints
Rams
and Rams.
In New Orleans. Yeah, in New Orleans. That was central time zone, so it wasn't that big a deal. Oh, yeah, there was a missed call in that game, as
yep,
I recall.
It was famous. People got mad.
Someone tweeted and said the Bills had the early Sunday game all 4 years.
That makes sense.
I wonder if that back then it would have been the AFC was typically the early game. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, the Raiders would have never hosted an AFC championship in that stretch.
Well, go game by game or team by team. In the first one, the Giants were at San Francisco, so that's an easy
West
time
Coast.
Zone one.
Yeah, right.
Year two, they play Washington. Who's Washington beat in the NFC Championship?
I have no idea. And then even the two Dallas years, I wouldn't have, couldn't tell you who Dallas would have played in the last 2 years of the Bills' run. Brayton, you're looking it up?
Dallas.
Pull up NFC Championship games.
Dallas would have beaten the Niners at least once in the NFC Championship.
Boy.
It really is where, I don't want to say teams get forgotten, but the teams that are remembered, Super Bowl competitors, or, you know, Super Bowl teams are remembered.
Hmm.
And it could easily be two different teams, and it all swings on this weekend. So it's just, you know, it's kind of fun to think about. All right.
All right, so the Giants played the 49ers in 91. The Redskins faced the Lions and crushed them 41-10.
Yeah, I was going to guess the Lions.
And then the Cowboys beat the 49ers,
both times. Both times.
Yep.
And then the following year, the Niners beat the Cowboys.
Yes.
Three straight years, the same two teams in the NFC Championship.
Wow. Carolina Panthers made the NFC Championship in 96.
I didn't even know
year
their second
two,
season.
Maybe, or yeah. year two or three.
Who was their quarterback, Berline?
Kerry Collins, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was Kerry Collins?
I'm going with Kerry Collins as my guess.
What year?
96, was it?
Yeah, I think that's right.
It was the quarterbacks on the roster were Berline, Collins, and Jay Barker. And, yeah.
Who could forget Jay Barker?
Jay Barker. Who the heck was Jay Barker? By the way, I should have used that for my stat of the day. It is just, we brought this up with Judy Batista. It is the first time since 2001 the AFC Championship has played without a Brady, a Manning, or a Roethlisberger.
Love it.
I mean, that's amazing.
It's great. It's great. It was Kerry Collins, by the way.
Okay.
A texter says championship games are currently on a strict rotation
of
who goes first. That's why they moved to 3:05 and 6:40.
So you did, if there was, because it used to be 12:30 and what, 4 o'clock?
Yeah. Maybe, or
someone,
1-4. So
someone
that's
tweeted
why,
in, the kickoff for the first conference championship game used to be 12:30, so gotcha. I guess the second would have been
so 3:05 and 6:40, and it's now a rotation, so next year it'll be the NFC that goes
flip
first.
It. So if you had a West Coast team playing in the first game at 3, it's still just a noon start out there.
Yes.
It's not crazy stupid early. Okay, that makes sense. But don't they know that people on the East Coast have to stay up later for the 6:40 game, and some people wake up at 4:30 the next morning to go to work? Don't they know that?
Well, 6:40 games... You know, it's
10
not,
o'clock.
It's
usually.
Yeah, it's not late at 6:40.
No.
Then you get to the fourth quarter, you're like, man. I'm
looking at nine, and then there's overtime.
9:15, 9:40, yeah.
Then there's overtime last year. Like, okay, come on, let's go.
Got an Aaron Rodgers jersey walking by. Al.
Here?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Al's a Packers fan?
Apparently.
Is he wearing a cheese head too?
Al's got a vast variety of jerseys. Yeah. He was wearing a Frank Gore jersey, a golden Frank Gore jersey last week.
I think if you wear a Packers jersey, you got to have the cheese head to go with it.
I think Al just wears a jersey on Friday every day.
Does
he's
he?
Here.
We got
just one, a random jersey.
Yeah, it's an engineering thing because one of our other engineers, Tom Maddie, he must own 75 different hockey shirts.
Yeah.
I mean, every team. Like,
Ottawa,
he'll walk in with a, hey,
Rangers,
he's got an Avalanche shirt
Devils.
On today. I mean, anything. Even an Ottawa Chris Neal shirt, which is really troublesome. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. The Sabres win last night. We've been talking about the Bills and the draft, and we were getting your calls in on who you're rooting for on Sunday in the AFC and the NFC matchups. You can share your thoughts at 803-0550. Big Frankie tweeted in, for some reason, you might be right, actually. I've never researched this, but for some reason, Tannehill always saved his worst games when he played Buffalo. So if that's all you've seen of him primarily, I could see how someone thinks he's worse than he is. He
that's
did.
Right.
You're right. I mean, he beat New England. I don't know how. Like, he had a winning record at home against Tom Brady. But, man, when he played the Bills, there were some dog games in there.
Yeah.
Like, he had maybe, what, one or two good games against Buffalo in his career? Strange. All right. Code word. Let's get you a code word, see if we can give away $1,000. Ticket is the word this time around. T-I-C-K-E-T. So text TICKET to 72881. You have until 10 o'clock to text it in. But please remember, message and data rates may apply. And do not text while you're driving. TICKET, T-I-C-K-E-T. Text it to 72881. If you do, you're in the running for the $1,000 in our national win cash contest. More code words this afternoon from Shope and the Bulldog. So good luck from WGR.
Stay connected to our shows and get in on the conversation. Follow us on Twitter at WGR550.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yep. Bandits Across. Bagpipes are so cool. One day I think I'll learn how to play bagpipes. That and the piano. Although drums, too. And there's a lot of instruments I'd like to play. Bandits are in action tomorrow night on our sister station, ESPN 1520. They're taking on one of their arch rivals, the Toronto Rock. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. Shout out to... Now, when you listen to the Bandits games, of course, our Dave Buchanan is on the broadcast from Fast Track fame. And that's back for another season, by the way. But you also hear John Gertler on the call of the Bandits game. So Dave pointed out to me that the last game against Halifax, or a couple games ago against Halifax, was his 300th game calling Bandits games. So shout out to our former colleague John Gertler on that, and congratulations on hitting that milestone. It's game 302 tomorrow against Toronto. And we're joined on the Western Hotline by the GM. And he's coaching the defense, too. Steve Dietrich with us here on WGR. Steve, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. So listen, how is it? So you're John Tavares' boss, and then he gets to boss you around on the bench. How does that work?
Yeah, he definitely is pretty mean on the bench. So I try and take precedent when we get to the food line and stuff like that. But, you know, it's great. Johnny's great. Rusty's great. We have a great staff, so we work real well together.
You just tell him that if he's mean to you, that's going to come back and get him at contract renewal time.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about that. But that's a good one. I'll definitely have to make sure Scott Loughlin, who's my boss, will definitely pull away when it comes to that. No doubt.
Hey, Steve, when you get a team that had gone, you had such a good season last year, you end up going to the final and you fall short in the final. How much does that drive a team the following season, or is that's just more of an off-season storyline for guys?
No, it definitely drives the team. You know, when you play obviously you play any sport to win, and when you get that close with a great group of guys and think you have the team to get it done and you don't, it definitely drives you. And then, you know, to go through the losses that we did in the offseason, whether it be, you know, during the expansion draft or during injuries, you know, it basically puts more weight and drives the guys that are back to perform at an even higher level. So I know the guys are driven, and I know they want to win, but, you know, I'm sure every team in the league can say that. So it makes it a tough go every week.
When you get a team that went 14-4 and they get to the final, what's the approach? What did you guys feel needed to be addressed for the Bandits going? I know you had an expansion draft that created some issues, but what did you think the team needed going into this season?
You know, I think we just needed some more depth, especially after, you know, we lost two real big pieces in Sean Evans and Jordan Durston, and we thought we had enough depth to overcome that. And then, you know, we lose Chase Frazier and we lose Thomas Hogarth, and
and we lose Ethan O'Connor, and, you know, I don't mean to go woe is me, but then all of a sudden you think you have a deep team and you lose seven guys from last year's roster, and then, you know, you really only have a first-round pick to jump into one of those spots. So you're almost chasing your tail. So you're trying to rebuild the depth that we had. We have a tremendous leadership group that have brought a lot of the new guys in and basically have surrounded them with, you know, a lot of leadership and welcomed everybody in. So really we were going into this looking for depth and looking to replace what we thought we had already had last year.
So the names you mentioned, whether it's expansion draft guys that you lost or injured players, what kind of challenges had you faced or have you faced as you try and put together the offense? There are some names going to get to that are constant, which is great to have, like Dane, but what overall did it present to you in terms of challenges of restructuring or adjusting this year's offense?
Yeah, it was incredibly difficult. You know, when you look at our team from last year, Sean Evans, Chase Frazier, Thomas Hogarth, and Dane Smith were basically our right side. And all of a sudden, you've taken three of those guys out of our lineup to begin the season. So it's real difficult, you know, not knowing how bad Chase was going to be. And at the time of the draft, not really knowing that Thomas Hogarth was going to be out. It's something that you don't really address at the draft. And by that time, free agency's already come and gone. So all of a sudden, you're caught chasing your tail, and you know you're hoping guys like Dallas Bridle, who's done a good job for us to begin this year, you hope that they can step up and take bigger roles. So, you know, trying to basically go out and find players that can step in and not basically be on the outside of the roster looking in, but being main pieces on the roster were incredibly difficult. Getting Chase back last week helps. You know, our left side has always been strong with Josh and Corey and Chris Kluche. They've been strong. So we've had a good start here, but, you know, we're starting to become whole, which is, you know, which is good for us. You know, we looked at our schedule at the beginning and thought 3 games in 7 weeks was going to be a big detractor for us. But then when we ran into the injuries, we thought, well, you know, maybe we're a little blessed here to have only played 3 games in 7 weeks and we're starting to become healthy.
How much did it help in this process of adjusting or maybe leaning on the defense and your goalie, because you have all your guys back on defense, you have Matt Vince back? How much did that help you guys while you try and get through this whole issue on offense?
Well, you know, it's always nice when you look back there and you see, you know, the greatest goaltender that's ever played the game, you know, manning the net for you. That's always nice. And then, like you just said, we brought everybody back basically from last year's defense with the exception of Ethan O'Connor. So it's always nice to be able to lean on that group and know that if we need to tighten the strings, that the guys can do that while the offense is trying to work its way through. Mm-hmm. You know, I think not having Steve in game two really hurt. It hurt us a lot. You know, our captain is our leader. He's the anchor of our defense. So getting him back and healthy and feeling whole as a group. And yeah, when you have a 10-man defensive unit and you only lose one, and, you know, the easy answer is, well, you still have nine guys. Yeah, but when you're losing the main guy, it's a big difference. So, like I say, we're starting to get whole, we're starting to get healthy, and hopefully we can get on a bit of a run here.
Final thing for you. You know, a moment ago you referenced having the greatest goalie to play the game, and when I heard we were getting you on, I was really interested to ask you this because of you played the position. So you have that different perspective on playing, being a goalie in the National Lacrosse League. And I guess I'm wondering, when you see Matt play, what are some of the things that go through your mind? How much can you appreciate what he's doing because you've experienced that position?
Yeah, you know, guys, when I played, I used to marvel and watch Bob Watson, and I used to think that you know, if I'm around long enough to watch a goaltender better than him, I'll be very, very lucky. Mm-hmm. And to basically witness what Matt's done is incredible. And for Matt, the biggest thing is the consistency. He is so good every game, and that is, you know, it's so important to a team that, you know, if you're having a hard time scoring, you know, he's there to keep the team low. If you make mistakes on defense, he's there to bail you out. He's like another coach on the floor. He comes to the bench. He sees things. He's incredibly bright. You know, I can go on and on. I can say so many things about him, but just to have him back there gives the team so much confidence to play the style we want to play. It's tremendous, and we couldn't ask for a better person and a better goaltender than what we have.
Well, good luck tomorrow night against Toronto. I know that's always a spirited matchup whenever you guys play, and thanks very much for giving us some time on the show this morning.
Hey, guys, thank you very much for having me anytime.
Steve Dietrich with us on the Wester Hotline, Rockin' Town tomorrow night. It's a 7 o'clock game over at the KeyBank Center. Tickets are available. If you want to purchase them, you can go to bandits.com, and we will have the game with John Gertler and our very own Dave Buchanan on our sister station, ESPN 1520.
When we get back, last week I went to break and I said I might have something to announce and to show everybody. Got a cool thing to show everybody. At the end of the show, and said, I'm going to tweet out a picture. I got something cool. And I never did it.
Hmm.
I'm going to do it next. I had to wait a week.
You're going to tweet the picture, or you actually have something here?
Both. Oh. No. I don't have it here. It's not here.
Ah.
I'm going to tweet a picture.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you a little story. I've got something nice to share.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right. You got anything you got to get to?
No. I wish the Bills were playing Sunday. Is that anything to get to?
Me too. What do we have until here? 54? What are we looking at?
54? 50? You got like 5 minutes.
5 minutes on the dot.
Yeah, you may need to fill a minute or two first.
We actually have
I don't think I can do 5 minutes.
We actually have to be on time for this one.
Yeah, why?
Because the instigators will beat us up if we go to break late. I mean, those guys, I don't care about screwing up like Sal's show on a Monday, but I don't want to get Peters and Reve and those. Marty won't get mad at us, but I don't want to get Peters and Reve mad at us. That would be, those are not the guys I want to screw around with. What are your picks for Sunday?
Give me the Chiefs and I don't care. Niners. Chiefs, Niners.
He's at shortstop.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs and the Niners.
Yeah, I'd like to. Hopefully, the NFC game is close. I really think it's going to be a blowout. I just think Green Bay is going to get manhandled by San Francisco defensively. I think Kansas City, Tennessee will be a really good game.
Yeah,
and I do hope Kansas City wins. I'd like to see Kansas City and San Francisco. I think those will be the two teams that win, though.
All right, I'm going to get through this. It's good. The end of it is a good part. There's a good thing to tell
okay.
you.
Okay,
it's a good thing. But I'm going to get through this. So last week I was going to tell everybody about something that is a new fixture in the community, if you will.
Okay.
And I was going to tweet about it, and I was going to talk about it. But then we had family friends go through a very rough time, the Kalani family who lost Luca. So I didn't tweet about it because in that moment, I went to this place. Instead of tweeting about it, I went to it. And you'll understand in a moment. So by now, you may have heard of the death of Luca Kalani. He was a very, very close family friend of ours. And we spent a lot of time with their family. And there's a write-up in the paper, a really nice write-up in the paper, you know, how they want him to be remembered, how they're going to have a foundation. They're starting a foundation mm-hmm. to kind of explain, like, the kind of kid he was. And when I talked about it on Monday or Tuesday, I didn't really know what to say. I felt like it's not—
Tuesday or Wednesday. Whatever,
day it was.
Yeah,
Tuesday.
He was going to take my job.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't really know what to say. You know, I didn't want to tell— It's not my story to tell, mm-hmm. but, you know, his parents, Ashley and Raj, have spoken with the news, and they've put there's a really beautiful article in the Buffalo News today from Sandra Tan about Luca, and I wanted to tell you one story about him that his father told me that, you know, to explain the kind of kid he was, and then I'm going to get to the other part. His father was telling me how, you know, they played catch all the time as father and son through footballs, through everything, and that they had a rule between them that, and I hope it's okay to tell the story. They're telling their story to they want him to be remembered, and I think this is a great way to remember him. That the rule was he always had to catch the last one before they were done.
Okay.
He was the kind of kid that would drop it on purpose so they could
keep the catch going.
Keep playing.
That's awesome.
He'd keep playing.
Oops, sorry, Dad.
Yeah. Like,
but it was right there.
And his dad would be like, I know you're dropping it on purpose. I think it's a good laugh.
That's
and like
funny.
That's I love that story. So anyway, You know, so we've been with that family, and they've gone through a terrible loss, and you know, you lean on family and friends. So here's the part, the postscript to our story. My wife and I, we lost our quadruplets in September, 4 months ago, and our friends and our family came together and donated something for us. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tweet this now. Give me a second to gather myself. They donated for us on our behalf a bench that is at Hoyt Lake. Take a look at the picture.
I know, I hit refresh.
Yeah.
I have a slow internet.
So they donated through the Olmsted Park Service a bench that is at Hoyt Lake and overlooks.
Okay.
I told you I was going to get through. We got married at Marcy Casino.
I wish I could come over there and help you.
It's okay. It's okay. So we got married at the casino, and the bench is at Hoyt Lake. And you can see the casino.
Yeah.
And
you want me to read what you wrote? You're not going to be able to get through it. It's a picture of the bench with a view of the water. And you're not making this easy on me. Don't cry, man.
It's okay.
An incredible gift donated by our family and friends. Yes. Our commemorative bench is in at Hoyt Lake. In good times or bad, we hope this peaceful spot in our community can be of use to all to sit, to chat, or reflect for family,
yeah,
for friends.
We walk our dogs there. We walk there. We run there. We're always in the, you know, Delaware Park, Hoyt Lake, walking around. Again, we got married there. So there's a bench there. And, you know, our quad's names are on it, and it says family, for friends, like anybody. If you ever go to that bench and you sit on it with your son, with your daughter, with your wife, with your friends, you know, you can send me that a picture of that anytime. I'd love to see it anytime that anybody is ever there. And it is such a great gift that our friends gave to us. You know, we knew it was going in, went in right after the new year. And the one picture, this is where I'll make a little light of it too. See the tree that's behind that?
I'm looking at the plaque of the names.
Okay, well, there's a tree behind the bench. Yep. And you know how I feel about the elite season.
Yeah,
right?
Fall. Yeah. Oh, sure, there's no leaves.
But that tree, no, because we knew the spot. We saw it being built. That tree in the fall is the most beautiful, lit up, colorful tree.
Yeah.
And when I saw the spot that it was going to be and I saw that tree, I just felt so great about it. So a thank you to our family and our friends for that. And to any family or group of friends that are struggling with whatever, we have that spot there for family and for friends.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.